Welcome back to the show. I'm Maya Schwader. It's 4th of July weekend, and Another Thing is celebrating because this year we can in person. On the show, we have two of the women who are helping bring the community back together in Hartford, Connecticut. This year will be the first ever Hartford Bonanza, a music-filled, in-person 4th of July celebration. And of course, no celebration is complete without fireworks. You might be tempted to get your own, but later we'll be joined by Massachusetts Fire Marshal Peter Ostrowski. His office, as well as the state police, have already seized thousands of dollars in illegal fireworks crossing the Massachusetts border. And honestly, he says the safest way to enjoy fireworks is to just go to your town's professional show.
And I'm Dara Kennedy. Fireworks displays would normally take 10 to 11 months to plan, says the CEO of New Hampshire-based Atlas Pyrovision Entertainment, Steve Pelkey. But this year, due to COVID-related delays, his planning window dwindled down to only 30 to 40 days. And after a challenging year where retail stores were in jeopardy, Steve says he's not just happy about this fourth weekend.
I would say that we're more than excited. We're elated. 2020 for all small businesses was quite difficult. And especially for our small family business that's been in existence since 1949, it was a tough year. We typically do 600 to 650 professional displays throughout New England. And last year we recorded approximately 64, 65 displays. So we were down just about 90% of our display business, which is 60% of our overall revenue. And, you know, fortunately, we're one of a few companies in the country that is what is considered a hybrid company. We do both consumer sales and professional displays. In consumer sales, we have our four retail stores. And, you know, last year it was the saving grace of our retail stores that got our business from basically going under, because the PPP just wasn't enough. And we were able to keep all of our 28 full-time staff employed throughout the year. We didn't have to furlough anybody. So getting into this year, and although it's been very slow to open up, Massachusetts finally came on board in mid-May. And the challenging thing right now, we have to try to plan 450 displays over the next 90 days with 45 days notice. And that's been the tough part.
When you say Massachusetts finally got on board, explain that to our listeners.
Well, you know, there's a lot of data that everyone's reading. And I think certain states viewed things with a bit more caution than others. And, you know, Massachusetts wanted to get a certain level of the positivity cases down naturally, I think like any state, and then make sure the vaccination rates were up. And then, you know, I think there was a lot of pressure from certain businesses that say, you know, Maine or New Hampshire or Vermont, they're opening up and they don't seem to be having an issue. So whereas a lot of the other New England states were opening up, you know, 30 to 60 days earlier, I think Massachusetts took a bit more cautious approach to it all, and which just created a lot of havoc on any seasonal business that requires some significant planning. And certainly our industry is one of them when we're trying to provide municipal displays for communities.
Sounds like Massachusetts needs to go ahead and make fireworks legal.
Well, I think it would be helpful, but, you know, they have their own reasons. I mean, every state does, and for a variety of reasons. But I think taking a gradual effort in maybe allowing just, you know, fountains or smaller devices, such as the way Connecticut or Rhode Island has done, might take some of that pressure off.
Your retail locations, the one in Ridge, New Hampshire specifically, the one that's on the border there of Massachusetts, yeah, and Vermont, what are sales like for them right now?
It's incredible. We have, last year, we never believed that we would have an 80 to 85% increase in sales from 2019 to 2020. But a lot of it was justified because, you know, beaches were closed, amusement parks were closed. And some of the data that we looked at over the winter, 40% of our business came from new customers. Half of those have returned in 2021. So fortunately, we did have the retail consumer side of our business, which basically put us completely in the black.
Steve, how has the reports of a fireworks shortage and a supply chain disruption affected your ability to serve all of your clients?
Well, we have no supply shortage. I think a lot of it is due to the fact that we're a hybrid company. So we do both consumer and display fireworks. So we keep, as a business model, 12 to 18 month supply of fireworks always, because our 35 years of experience is, if it's not a pandemic, it's a work stoppage, or it's, you know, conflict around the world, or it's a fuel shortage. There are always a variety of circumstances that is going to cause a delay in the global infrastructure for transportation and logistics.
Sticking with that from an economic standpoint, then, does that increase the pricing for fireworks because it becomes supply and demand? Do customers now pay more for what is actually available?
Yeah. Well, on the surface, you would say yes. But the supply and demand in itself isn't the reason for a price increase. We're dealing with about a 15% increase overall. But some people aren't going to be able to absorb all of that, and they're going to have to charge more. We've helped out a few other small fireworks companies in the Midwest with some of their inventory materials that we had excess of. So the prices overall, I think, are staying modestly increased to about 10 to 15%, somewhere in there.
What regions and towns are you supplying this year?
It's all over New England, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, including the islands of Block Island, Edgartown, Nantucket. So it's been, and we've had to do all this planning just in the last 30 to 40 days, as opposed to having 10 or 11 months of planning involved. On the 4th, I will be bouncing between Gillette Stadium and Hyannis down in Barnstable and Cape Cod.
What's happening at Gillette? The Patriots lost.
No. Patriot Place puts on a display every year. The Kraft family supports it through the Gillette Stadium and Patriot Place businesses. And after all, it's how more patriotic can you get than being with the New England Patriots at Patriot Place?
That was Steve Pelkey, CEO of Atlas Pyrovision Entertainment, the largest fireworks display company in New England.
As a reminder, the private purchase and use of fireworks is not legal in Massachusetts, but it is in several of our neighboring states. This year, the fire department and the state police are cracking down. A spokesperson said they've already served at least 30 criminal summonses and seized thousands and thousands of dollars worth of fireworks crossing the border. We spoke with Peter Ostrowski, the Massachusetts fire marshal. He said that while this is always a busy time of year for firefighters, last year was worse than normal.
We saw a significant uptick in use of consumer fireworks disturbing neighborhoods and communities last year for whatever reason. We know that we see a significant increase in that kind of activity around the 4th of July traditionally, but last year was particularly bad. So I would say this year we want to make sure that we're supporting communities and local departments in their needs with respect to reducing the amount of use of consumer-grade fireworks or illegal use of fireworks in neighborhoods and communities.
Speaking of last year, your office has said that there was a 63% increase in calls related to fireworks between 2019 and 2020. Now, 4th of July is always a busy time for firefighters. Are you expecting that there might be a similar increase this year?
We hope not. We hope that with the return of professional fireworks shows, the people will heed our warnings and suggestion to leave the fireworks to the professionals. You know, the weeks surrounding the 4th of July are historically the heaviest for fireworks-related injuries. Last year, dozens of people were displaced by structure fires caused by illegal fireworks. And just in the last 10 years, there have been over 940 major fire and explosion incidents involving illegal fireworks, 12 civilian injuries, 42 fire service injuries, and an estimated dollar loss of $2.1 million from that kind of activity. So we're hopeful that we will be able to encourage people to take advantage of the legitimate shows done by professionals and to stay safe this 4th of July.
Do you think that maybe last year people were going a little stir crazy and trying to make the 4th of July extra exciting?
I wouldn't posit why we got to where we were last year, but I can tell you that, again, it was very disturbing to neighborhoods. It was very disturbing to pets. And it was, you know, we did have some incidents and some significant loss. As I say, many people displaced from their homes as a result of fires from illegal fireworks activity.
Right, because it's not just pretty things shooting off in the sky. They can actually burn down buildings and harm people. I would like to ask,
that's right.
Massachusetts outlaws fireworks right now, but they are very legal in our neighboring states. There have been some ideas out there that maybe it's time to lift the ban. People are doing this anyway. They're pretty easy to get, and there is perhaps an upside to having a fireworks industry. As the fire marshal of Massachusetts, is there a point to this ban?
Oh, I think there definitely is a point to this ban. While Massachusetts is one of the remaining states that outlaws all consumer-grade fireworks, you know, what we know is that there are many, many injuries, that we see many fires, and I think it's still prudent. We don't see the number of injuries here in Massachusetts that our neighboring states or states across the country see as a result of consumer-grade fireworks, misuse, and so forth. So I do think it's still appropriate. In communicating with my peers across the nation, I know that most are not happy with the fact that they have legalized certain sale of those products.
So if someone is going to have fireworks, if they absolutely must, how do safely? What would you suggest, if anything?
I would suggest that they go down to the high school or to the local area where they're being shot off by a professional, and they enjoy the show. You know, we see too many times, especially that children are injured by fireworks. What people don't realize is that, first of all, part of the danger comes from the fact that these are an explosive, you know, and there's really no such thing as a safe and sane firework. When you look at things like sparklers that burn at 1800 degrees Fahrenheit or higher, you can see the potential for issues. And we know that kids imitate adults. So we ask that adults lead the charge by example, and that they make sure that kids are safe and make sure that they have a safe and happy 4th of July. If people are looking for additional information, they can find it at our website, which is mass.gov/DFS.
Peter Ostrowski is the fire marshal for Massachusetts. Thank you so much for joining us on And Another Thing.
Thank you very much.
So now you know that you need to hurry and stock up on safe items for the 4th weekend. And next, we take you to Hartford as they plan their much-anticipated first-ever 4th of July bonanza. Stay with us. You're listening to And Another Thing.
You're listening to New England Public Media. What if you could plant seeds to grow your own genes? Well, coming up on Marketplace, we'll take a look at a new experiment in textiles. That's ahead at 6:30, followed by Fresh Air at 7 and Jazz a la Mode at 8 on New England Public Media, where And Another Thing is funded by you. By Dean's Beans Organic Coffee, creators and funders of the Kids Stimulus Package, a school feeding program for children throughout Western Massachusetts, deansbeans.com. And by the Vermont Department of Tourism, offering an online inspiration guide with travel ideas for day trips and weekend adventures in the Green Mountain State. More at vermontvacation.com. Mostly cloudy and humid tonight with showers and a possible thunderstorm. Patchy fog overnight with a low around 60. Cloudy and cooler tomorrow with showers likely, a high near 70.
Welcome back. With Maya Schrader, I'm Derek Kennedy. Though many fireworks shows are canceled in Connecticut this year, the nonprofit behind First Night Hartford is bringing their first ever 4th of July celebration to the city. And while they won't have fireworks to ensure social distancing, they are kicking off celebrations on the front lawn of the Wadsworth Anthonia Museum on Friday before continuing festivities through the 5th, when in addition to music, art shows, and food trucks, a COVID-19 vaccination clinic will be on hand.
I'm excited that we are sort of opening the doors to folks coming together again. Yeah, you know, I think everyone's in like different places right now about like, are you ready? Are you not? But I think it's sort of our gig as culture makers to sort of open the door. As Silk the Sonic says, leave the door open for folks who are maybe ready to experience public gathering again. What's the vibe? We pivoted to digital content pretty quickly and so have continually produced this past year. But definitely looking, you know, forward to bringing people back together, because that's not only our bread and butter, but the most effective way of getting people to change, to be more empathetic, to build community. So I'm, you know, as a theater maker, excited to see all the public gathering, you know, activities like what we're doing with Hartford Bonanza is a really great like entry point for people to sort of vibe and get outside and be around others and see what it's like. I do think it's going to be more vibrant than last year for sure. And we'll see if it's as vibrant as years past. I think we're all sort of looking forward to a kind of cathartic, everybody comes out together moment. And maybe when it's written in the history books, that's how it will be written. But I think we're going to see a good number of folks come out. I think it's going to be, it's going to feel really good to have everybody out. And I think, you know, folks are going to be cautiously optimistic about this new time.
One of the headliners of the Hartford Bonanza is Nikita Waller. She is the current Connecticut State Troubadour, which is an honorary 3-year position in which she serves as an ambassador of music and song to help promote cultural literacy among Bridge Staters. She told us she was honored the Bonanza asked her to headline, and she was happy to be able to see people in person again.
I'm eager to see people's smiling faces again. I'm eager to bring people back, to gain the people trust, so we can all start trusting each other and trusting a little bit what we see, and just being comfortable. So I'm hoping again to just allow people to be a little bit more relaxed and to be free and to actually express themselves while they're listening to some good music and smile at someone that haven't probably received a smile, a live in-person smile in all but a year.
That was Nikita Waller, the current state troubadour for Connecticut, who is performing this weekend at the Hartford Bonanza. Before that, we heard from Tanisha Dugan. She is on the board of First Nights Hartford, which is producing the show.
Every year for the past decade, the historic OSV in Sturbridge, Massachusetts, has hosted a naturalization ceremony, except for last year. Now, as the swearing-in returns, Reese Simmons, director of interpretation, says they're pulling out all the stops.
The 4th of July is one of the most important holidays, you know, in our nation, right? And, you know, at Old Sturbridge Village, we've been trying to celebrate the holiday in various different ways. And in the last 10 years, or about 10 years ago, we brought in a naturalization ceremony, and it's been a wonderful addition, because what we're able to do is celebrate the fact that America is a country of immigrants, and we think that having the ceremony where new citizens get sworn in, take the oath of allegiance to the country, is a wonderful part of our celebration, and we're really fortunate that the court and the immigration services have really liked to use our museum as a wonderful backdrop for their ceremony.
Tell us about the museum and tell us about the ceremony. I understand it's quite the to-do.
Yeah, so for the, like I said, the last about decade or so, we've hosted the ceremony right on our common. So the museum is a museum of about 40 historic buildings, and we have daily anywhere from 25 to 40-ish historical interpreters that are basically recreating what life was like in rural New England in the 1830s. And the 4th of July is one of the four major holidays that was being celebrated in rural New England in the 1830s. And the 4th of July was a wonderful time to both celebrate, a lot of times with, you know, gatherings, a lot of times with music, a lot of times, you know, this was the time for militias to get together and do gun salutes and so forth. So a lot of the same things that, you know, we think of today, every day from Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be doing a citizens procession or a parade, which were things that were very, very common in our time period as well to all celebrate the nation's holiday.
This is an event that's been held on the 4th for several years now. How did you accommodate it last year?
The museum itself did open up on July 4th weekend, and we wanted to have the naturalization ceremony as part of the program. But unfortunately, due to some coordination, they chose not to do any remote sites last year. And they did. So we did not hold it last year.
So are you pulling out all the stops for this year to make up for that?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. So we're doing all of our celebrations this year. So we're going to have, you know, fife and drum. We're doing, you know, cannon demonstrations. We're signing a big declaration. We're doing various different performances, talking about the importance of the holiday and the meaning of the Declaration of Independence. So we're trying to put that in context, you know, that, you know, it was written by an imperfect man in an imperfect time. And a lot of the aspirations of our nations are still goals that we're aspiring towards. So that's kind of the crux of our celebration. And of course, we have games. So we'll be playing an early version of baseball on the common. We'll be firing off hot air balloons in celebration, which is something that was done in our time period. So there's other ways that we're kind of celebrating the holiday, too.
Well, that sounds delightful. When you speak with the new citizens who've just been sworn in previous years, what do they tell you about it?
Oh, they're through the moon when you're talking with them. They're just so appreciative of the day. They're just excited to go through the process because, I mean, when I've talked with several of them, it's just such a long process for them. And this is something that they've been waiting for a long time. The citizens and their family are just, they're generally blown away by the site too, because a lot of them, this is their first time visiting the museum. They're generally pretty excited to be there. And of course, they're most excited to be going through the process.
Reese Simmons, a director at OSV. This year, he says they estimate around 30 citizens will be sworn in. You can visit osv.org for more information. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Dara Kennedy. A reminder, you can always join the conversation. Call us at 800-639-9120. Have a safe, happy 4th weekend.
Follow us on social media. We are at Hello and Another, or email us at andanotherthing@nepm.org. I'm Maya Schwader. A very happy Canada Day to all of those who celebrate. Thanks for listening and have a great long weekend.